Amherst Eclectic, and we're back today with the subject matter of, does sex get better with age? The senior sex therapist seems to think so. And I would imagine that it would get better with age, because the more you learn, the more you know, the more educated you are about something, the better it gets, correct? So as we become older and we have more experience and we've talked more and we've opened up more, I would think things would get better because sex communication would be better, because as you're getting older, you're probably thinking, well, I want to enjoy sex. I don't want it to just be this thing that I do. So I'm going to talk more about it. I'm going to open up and I'm going to demand more about sex to make it more pleasurable for myself. So I would think that as you get older, it would improve. But it says older people can't enjoy great sex, but it starts with believing it's possible and communicating when you need to adapt your approach. So our bodies change as we get older. Things move around. For both men and women, because, you know, as you get older, Mother Nature has deemed it to stop reproduction, because if it was uninhibited, if we didn't take birth control or those sort of things, or do the, you know, monthly measuring of when you're supposed to have sex, when your eggs are releasing, etc., we'd really have had a lot of kids between everyone. But now that we know how to limit that with birth control and condoms and things like that, we don't have as many kids as we used to. But so I think Mother Nature did that on purpose so that we wouldn't, like, you know, once you got to a certain point, you know, stop producing babies, because it would be too many babies, right? If you were being able to reproduce through all those years, right? So it's just a matter of the body's wearing down, you can't reproduce, so things do change. And as you get older, with those things shutting down, it's a little more difficult sometimes to have sex. So, you know, you have to change as your body's changing. And what they said is, yes, you can still have great sex. And I think what's proven that is most of the senior citizen homes have the highest rate of sexually transmitted diseases of anywhere. Even college campuses, they have a higher rate of sexually transmitted diseases because people are older, they can't get pregnant, and they're having more sex. So, yeah. And they're having more partners, etc., etc. I mean, as people get older, they're like, hey, I'm going to die in about 10 years. I might as well have fun, right? So, that just shows that, you know, as people get older, they're still having sex and they haven't died yet. They're not dead yet, as they say. Okay. A lot of people anticipate enjoying their golden years. This is what the article says. But what does that look like? Time for hobbies, travel, spoiling your grandkids, but what about great sex? A study published last month in The Gerontologist looks at how well our sexual expectations match up with reality over time. The story was adapted from an April 30th edition of NPR Health, a newsletter covering the science of healthy living. As part of the MIDAS, Midlife in the U.S., that's what that stands for, study, hundreds of partnered adults ages 45 and up were asked to rate how satisfying they expected their sex lives to be in 10 years, in the future. Researchers then checked in with the participants a decade later, and guess what? Their findings seemed to demonstrate the power of positive thinking. Participants who were optimistic about their sex lives reported having significantly more frequent and more satisfying sex than those who had lower expectations. Well, that's obvious. If you don't expect anything, you're not going to get anything. Okay, so also sexually optimistic individuals who acquired physical limitations they didn't have 10 years before, such as pain that made it harder to lift groceries or exercise, reported having more frequent sex than people who had lower sexual expectations and no such limitations. So even people who were having physical ailments like pain had more sex. So yeah, I would think that sex would be a great motivator to keep moving. Natalie Wilton, a therapist who specializes in senior sexuality, says it's no surprise that people feel pessimistic about sex as they age. As a society, we buy into this lot of those really dangerous tropes and stereotypes, which make it very difficult for older adults to feel open about talking about sex, like that dirty old man stereotype, or the woman's a cougar, or even a kind of infantilizing. We see two older adults and we'll be like, oh, cute. They're holding hands, right? Or when they do anything related to sex, we're like, oh, that's weird. So basically, yeah, that's an idea that's been put out there in society, that if people get older and they're having sex, then it's like, ew, they're having sex? They're so old. Well, I mean, what is going to happen when you get old? Aren't you still be having sex? Heck yeah. I know I do. Okay, so she says these kinds of norms discourage discussions about healthy sexuality for older folks, which can hold them back when they may need to adapt their approach in bed. Wilton helps clients navigate the changes in their bodies and keeps their sex life thriving. I'm always amazed at how people are surprised about talking about sex in older adults. Like, it's always this great revelation. If something was really good right now, why would you want it to stop? With some adjustments, she says there's no reason to leave sexual satisfaction in the past. And here's some of her advice. She has different steps. Number one, slow your roll. One big piece of advice she offers is planning for more time for sex. As we age, our sexual response cycle, the time it takes to become aroused before and between sexual activity, becomes slower. Women especially may require more time and more touch beforehand to overcome a feeling of my mind is there, but my body isn't quite there yet. And for people with medical conditions whose symptoms worsen at night, so she suggests moving sexual activity to the morning or the afternoon. Two, equip the bed. Mobility is a huge issue when it comes to having comfortable sex. She says, today's seniors have options. Props can help. You can get in a pain-free position. There's tons that exist on the market, benches and wedges and different kinds of things, but you can also just use the things like pillows that you can have in your home. Even the simply changing positions can help. And they do. They sell, like, they don't just sell that kind of stuff to older people. You can use that at any age. You can use these wedges that they sell. They're like styrofoam or cushy wedges and blocks and different things that they sell, that you can do different positions with them. You can make those positions a little bit easier. I mean, and you can do some pretty wild positions if you buy these wedges and these blocks that they sell specifically for sex. And you don't necessarily have to buy those at a sex toy company. I mean, you can, but you can also just go have somebody cut that, like go to a hardware store and ask them to cut a foam wedge that way, or buy it and cut it yourself. Okay. A tip, assistive equipment like foam wedges marketed for sexual activity can often be found for much cheaper at a medical supply retailer. So there you go. Some of those wedges and blocks and things are used to help older people to maybe sit down easily or get up easily or put it behind their back because they don't have as much back strength anymore when they're sitting down, things like that. Okay, three, check out the toy store online. Sex toys, baby. Sometimes great sex comes down to planning ahead. Make sure you have the supplies you need. Something like lube is great for women as they get older, because as you get older, you have less lubrication. She also encourages her clients to experiment with different toys. It's actually a really great experience to get go to a sex shop, but it's pretty cool that we can go online and look for the things now. Maybe if we don't feel comfortable or even live in a small town that doesn't have great access to this kind of stuff, Drugstore chains generally carry lubricant and many stock a few toys as well. And I'll tell you, they're starting to carry more sex toys in normal stores. I actually bought a little bullet vibrator to give to a friend for her wedding gift. Because she was this very Christian, very closed-off person who really hadn't had great sex in her life. And I just gave it to her and said, enjoy. You know, she had voiced to me, because she knew I sold sex toys, she voiced to me that she'd never tried any of that before. And I said, well, here's your beginning. You know, it's just a little bullet, like a, maybe a 2-inch bullet covered in silicone with a regulator on it. And that's what I gave her. So they had that at the store. I think I bought that at Walmart back when she got married. And if I have been told that, like, Target and CVS and different people are actually selling vibrators, like full-size vibrators now. They have them behind locked, you know, cabinets, maybe somewhere in the back, but you can get them at a regular store. And they'll, you know, charge them out in the back of the store, maybe in the pharmacy, so you're not so embarrassed. But yeah, so they're becoming more accessible, because what are we doing? We're talking more about sex. We're talking more about enjoying sex. We're talking more about how these aren't, sex toys aren't just these nasty things that nasty people use. It's actually, you know, a relationship tools to help you have better sex. And the people that I know who are really open about having sex toys and using sex toys, they're still married. They have a long-lasting relationship, because they have not only a great relationship and friendship, but they have great sex, right? And great sex leads to intimacy, it leads to communication, it leads to people being more honest with each other. So that helps throughout the whole relationship. Okay. Open up, number 4, open up to a new way of connecting. Wilson encourages clients to redefine what sex and intimacy look like and develop flexibility around that. Try not to get in your head about it if something's not working. Say your partner can't get an erection, or your partner doesn't seem to be in the mood. It's not getting like, oh my goodness, they don't want to be with me. That is awful. We need to stop. Instead, she says, adapt and try something different. Just snuggle instead. Give each other a back massage or touch each other differently. Just kind of give that time and space for things to move and flow a little bit more organically. So sometimes, you know, yes, there's the physiological reasons why someone can't have an erection. There's the physiological reasons why a woman can't have an orgasm. But a lot of sex is in your head, people. And I don't mean the penis of the head. No, the head penis. No. I mean in your brain. A lot about sex is in your brain. So that's why they say foreplay is even going out to dinner or calling your partner, you know, earlier in the day and saying, I can't wait until we go out to dinner tonight and then when we have sex tonight. Or, you know, I mean, sometimes it takes hours to get that feeling ready. Just remember when you were first dating and you weren't having sex yet and you were trying to woo each other. That's the kind of stuff you need to do even while you're in a relationship after you've been wooed. Keep trying to date each other. Keep trying to woo each other. Keep trying to bring that romance back into the relationship. Romance leads to better sex. It always does. Knowing that someone really cares about you, is still attracted to you, and is looking forward to being with you, all of that stuff plays into better sex later. So if you have those feelings and you have all that stuff going on inside your brain, this person loves me, they're still attracted to me, they still want me, they still think I'm sexy, and then all of that stuff comes into play earlier in the day, then you're going to have better sex later. So that helps for your partner to maybe get a better erection. That helps for your partner to have a better orgasm, because it's mostly in your head. It's mostly in your head. Yeah, there's a lot of physical stuff going on, but it's mostly in your head. If you're getting excited, it's because you're thinking that in your head that you're excited. You're excited about what's being done to you. That's all mental. Okay. Number five, she says, watch for side effects of medications. When it comes to sex with Wilton recommends asking questions and advocating for yourself at the doctor's office. Things like diabetes, heart disease, Parkinson's, and a whole host of other issues we tend to see more commonly as people get older often have either a sexual side effect based on the illness itself, or many of the medications may have some kind of side effect. And they found that with medications that affect taking Viagra to get an erection. So you have to kind of talk to your doctors about, well, what kind of medication, what kind of erection pills can I take that, or what do I need to take to kind of side effect the medication I have to take for this symptom, this thing that I have, a heart problem or diabetes or whatever, that will not count out, X out my erection pills. So, yeah. So there's lots of things you can talk about. And then also for women, you know, talking about getting lubrication or hormones that can help you still maintain some of your sexual feelings that you have or whatever. You need to talk to your doctor about balancing those sort of things out. Okay, expect the best. That's number six. Despite challenges, she says the sex you have when you're older can be the best sex of your life. Sometimes we develop a bit more of confidence for ourselves too. When we get older, we're like, yeah, you know what? I am who I am and I like me. Most people, as they get a little bit older, they stop caring about some of those less important things. And I think that promotes a better sex life. And let's see, it says to learn more, Wilton recommends her books. And you can check out other interviews, but she also advocates for ageless sexuality. So, yeah, I mean, I think that as we get older and we're more experienced and we know what we like and we know what feels good and we know what we need, as I was saying, you know, I like going out, I like going dancing, I like going to concerts, I'm into orchestra, opera, ballet, all that stuff. And the people who've been with me know that if they want to have a great end of the night, take me to the ballet, take me to the opera, take me to a Mahler, I love Mahler, orchestra, take me to go dancing. I love going dancing. And that's a really great way to get your sexual juices going. You know, join some sort of a dance class. It can be, you know, something very elaborate, or it can just be going out to a dance club and dancing and just doing whatever you want to do. But I really, you know, I like both. I like doing the, you know, traditional dancing where you have to know your steps, etc. But I also like just going out and dancing and having fun and just having fun together. And everybody who's dated me has known they have to go out and go dancing with me. And it's not that it's torture for them or anything. They just know how much I love to dance. And so they know in order to be with me, that's part of the relationship, is how much I like to dance, just like they like to do other things. You know, I've had people who liked to go motocross riding, so I got a bike with my ex, and we went motocross riding because that was something he really enjoyed doing, and he was so excited that I was going with him and I was doing it with him. And but you know, he did things with me that I liked to do. You know, I like going biking on the trails. You know, I like going, riding a race bike or riding a mountain bike. I like doing that sort of stuff. And so he got more into that with me. So there are just different things that you do that's a lot of fun, that you have fun together. You know, we liked going to parks and hiking up mountains and camping out for 2 or 3 days out in the middle of nowhere. We liked doing that. And, you know, that got the juices flowing when we were camping. So, you know, there's different things that you can do that's just really exciting. You know, we went on the wild cave tour down in Mammoth Cave, and that was really fun because it was sort of a risk-taking venture, you know. And you're taking more of a risk going on that wild cave tour than just walking through the regular mammoth cave tour. And you get to see a lot more things. So there's things like that you can do. You can actually take in the Smoky Mountains, you can take, volunteer to take the llamas up on the top of this mountain, where there's a cabin where everybody stays, and you hike all the way up the mountain and you stay up there, and you can be the one that volunteers to take the llamas up that take all the food up, the donkeys and the llamas. So, there's things like that you can do. We used to go hiking in the Smokies, and we've hiked so high that we've been up there and the sun's going down and we've got to hurry up and get back down before there's no light, because you can't hike in the dark, And so after that, we started taking tents with us. We started taking a tent and overnight food with us, so that if we got stuck up in a mountain that we were hiking, that we could at least camp out overnight. So yeah, I mean, there's lots of things you can do, lots of fun things you can do. People like to travel. People like to go on cruises. People like to, bike across the country. People like to, just camp. They like to take their campers different places and hit all of the parks around where they live, whatever country you live in. That's something I'd like to do. I'd like to go get out and just kind of hit all the national parks in America, and then start going beyond America and hitting all other parks, and just seeing all the nature there is. They've preserved these parks for a reason, so that we could all see them. And so my ex and I had started doing that. We started hitting a lot of the parks nearby. We were starting to stretch out from where we lived. So, I mean, there's just lots of things you can do to, spice up your life a little bit, And then if you have a real intimate friendship, a real intimate relationship, everything's going to be better in the bedroom, too. And I think that couples who have been together for a really long time and they're getting into their older age, they really know each other's bodies, they know each other's personalities, and even when there are changes in your physical body, they know what the partner likes and they're willing to try different things. I mean, as people get older, it doesn't always have to be about penetration. It doesn't have to be about the penis going in the vagina, right? It can be about oral sex. It can be about, you masturbating him, he masturbates you with your hands. Or you can get sex toys and do it that way. Or, sometimes people have never tried a butt plug. There is a erogenous zone up inside just right inside your anus. Sometimes the guys really like to find that out. There's a way to make guys come a lot faster if you find that little, it's in between the anus and the scrotum on the inside and on the outside. You can press like this little walnut size area that, and if you rub on that and you stimulate that, it makes them come faster. So, there's different things you can find out about each other's body. Some people like to have their ears nibbled. Some people like to have their wrist stroked. Some people like to have their necks nibbled on. Some people, some women don't like having their breasts nibbled on, breast nipples sucked on or anything. Some people don't like that. Some people do. So you just have to find out what is great about your partner that they like the most. I personally think a lot of women love to get massages because 9 times out of 10, guys don't give massages. Maybe that can be a lead up into something sensuous. You can do different oils, you can do different types of lotions, and just give her a really great massage. I mean, I think a lot of women don't really know what a great massage is unless they go to a masseuse. I think a lot of guys get massages from their girlfriends or wives way more than men do the reciprocation. And I can tell you that when I got I've gotten massages, it's been amazing. But I will say, I've probably given more massages than I've gotten, because it's just more expected, I guess, from men that women do that, So you have to kind of change things up. So guys, give your lady a massage and do it from the top of her head down to the toes of her feet. Hit every point on her body and find out what feels best for her that you're massaging. And in a way, then you can find out what might turn her on when you're massaging her. Sometimes when you're massaging people, there's certain areas that you touch or certain that you may not expect are erogenous zones for that person. So find those erogenous zones. Everyone has a different erogenous zones. But it doesn't always have to be about penetration sex. It can just be about, you know, I mean, there are people that if you give them a massage and they end up having an orgasm because it's just such an erotic experience for them because, like I said, most women have never really gotten a great massage. That might give her an orgasm just because you're taking the time to massage her whole body, you know, and that may turn you on knowing that you've turned her on. So there's lots of things you can do. And of course, there's all kinds of sex toys. You know, that's something you have to find out from your partner and for yourself, what you like, what she likes. Maybe go out and buy a bevy of sex toys and try things. And you might find that certain things don't work. Certain sex toys aren't, well, that was kind of, we shouldn't have bought that. That's not good for us. But at least you tried it. At least you gave it a shot. You're going through all of the steps to find out what works for you. So maybe that vibrator is something that you're going to use more often because you found that it works for your wife or your husband. So there's a reason, though, I think that older people have more sex and they're having more sexually transmitted diseases. I think it's because they know what they want. They're willing to try all the things that we've mentioned and beyond. And a lot of times one partner might pass before the other. So there are a lot of people who are single because their husband or their wife has passed away. And they're just having sex with whoever they want to because they're older. They're like, who cares? You know, I just want to have fun. So, you know, you also have to, you know, attribute to the newness of a relationship or the excitement of a new sexual partner might actually help them, you know, to have better sex because they didn't get to try this sort of things when they were in a long-term marriage. So you just never know. You just never know. All right. What do you guys think? Any suggestions? Anything that's helped you in your life as you've gotten older and helped you to have better sex? You know, send me a message, or like I've said in other podcasts, maybe we can have a dual podcast where we can talk about, you know, if you think you have enough information to talk about on a podcast, let me know. We'll have a conversation and we'll broadcast that podcast. I mean, we don't have to say who you are. You know, we can just give you a generic name. You know, it doesn't have to be something public for anyone to know. And yeah, so let me know. Give me a call on that. And let me know if you have any questions or any future podcasts that you might want me to do. Until next time.